Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now we have to ask the question, can the curse be healed? Can the curse be eliminated? Because a lot of us here, in different ways and different degrees, we have tendencies in our lives, in our families, in our personalities, in the way we relate to people. The curse is yet apparent. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the generation that sees the curse healed and eliminated in my family tree.
The truth is, there's a proven way to build a healthy home. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Building a Functional Family, sharing with you the most important ingredient for a happy and healthy home. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Building a Functional Family, Part 2.
I won't run through all of it, but I can tell you two of the boys, Simeon and Levi, because their sister was taken advantage of sexually by an older man in a city, in a small town, Simeon and Levi stepped up and murdered every man in the town. Mass murder, Simeon and Levi, two boys, two siblings of Big Jake. You say, oh, what a terrible thing to happen to a family. Oh, it even gets maybe a little worse. Reuben was guilty of incest in the family. Boy, I wish you hadn't said that. Judah, the oldest, had sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, and she got pregnant, and he said, I thought she was a prostitute. I thought she was a prostitute. Joseph had dreams, and he lorded over all of his brothers saying, I'm my dad's favorite. I can get away with anything. I'm smarter than you, better than you, bigger than you, stronger than you. I will rule over you. And he lorded it over all of his other 10 brothers and wore that coat his daddy gave him alone. He was an egomaniac in his teenage years. That's how it expressed itself, the curse, in different ways. It's twisted. It moves on. Until finally the brothers said, we've had enough of Joe. And they took Joseph and they wanted to kill him. One brother said, let's sell him as a slave. And that's what they did. He was sold as a slave and he got out of the family and out of the culture and out of the trap. You see what happens with the curse? Now we have to ask the question, can the curse be healed? Can the curse be abated? Can the curse be eliminated? Because a lot of us here, in different ways and different degrees, we have tendencies in our lives, in our families, in our personalities, in the way we relate to people. The curse is yet apparent. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the generation, my generation, that sees the curse healed and eliminated in my family tree. And many of us would stand up today and say, that's what I want. That's what must happen in my life. Let me tell you something. It takes an experience, and it takes a process for the curse as it spins itself off in many directions in our lives, from our dysfunctional families, in various degrees. Same cause as the curse. How is it healed? Let's look at Big Jake, Jacob. Jacob. He had three great encounters with God. Three. The first one was at Bethel, house of God. Remember when he left his mother and dad under the auspices of going to find a wife who would be godly and not a Canaanite wife? The truth is, why did he leave home? Because his brother said, I'll kill you when daddy dies. Because you've conned me, you fleeced me. I'm going to kill you. He left out of fear of Esau, but he put a spin on it. You think spinning is brand new. He put a spin on it that he was going to find a godly woman with his mother's brother, a woman, you know, like his mother, and Isaac bought it, and Rebekah perpetuated it, but really he was running for his life. See, as a young man leaving the protection and the sanctity of the home and the prosperity of the home and going out on his own into a new world, a new climate, and he had nothing. And he spent the night alone, and in that experience, he began to pray. And this is the Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. This is the experience, Bethel, in which he prayed. He saw his prayers going up, his prayers coming down, angels taking his petition up, angels taking his petition down. And the amazing thing is God, in his grace, in his benevolence, in his love, said, Jake, I'm going to make a great people out of you and out of your descendants. And here he was running because he had been such a flim-flam man in his own family, running for his life, but God said, I'm going to bless you. God is some kind of God, isn't he? Even in our rebellion and our sin and our functioning dangerously, he says, Jake, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be special. You're going to be a leader of a family, of a people that'll make a difference for me in the world. Isn't that amazing? That's Bethel, house of God. Great experience. The second great experience, some of you might think it was at Mizpah, the Mizpah covenant. You remember when, after being 20 years with Laban, after marrying two of his daughters, he now has 11 children, and he has totally fleeced Laban until he became wealthy, and Laban sort of held his own until Laban's son said, Jake is taking over everything, and Jacob picked up the vibes, and he ran in the cover of darkness until Laban went out and met him. He said, what do you mean, taking my 11 grandchildren and taking my two daughters, and you're running? What is the meaning of this? And Jake says, well, you know, I was afraid you would kill me and wouldn't let me leave. I've worked for you 20 years, 7 years for one daughter, 7 years for another daughter, 6 years in which he did that fancy negotiation there where all the spotted and all the speckled cattle would be his. And he was a wealthy man, and he was running, taking great resources with him. And Laban says, all right, let's, you know, you go your way, I go my way. There we have what is called the Mizpah covenant, and we use that. It says something, may the Lord watch over you when we're absent one from another. You know, we use that in a very pious way. May the Lord watch over you when we're absent one from another. Read the context of that verse. You know what it is? It's one cheat talking to another cheat, one crook talking to another crook, and you read the whole context, and he's saying to his father-in-law, Laban, when I can't watch you, I hope God watches you. And Laban's saying, Jacob, you cheater, when I can't watch you, I hope God will watch you. And they put some rocks down. They built a pillar. They called it some kind of altar. And Jacob says, don't you pass these rocks to hurt me. And he says, I won't pass these rocks to hurt you. This is Young's free translation, and is absolutely accurate. Two crooks, two mafia dons deciding on their turf. That's what that Mizpah covenant, as it's called, is all about. So that was not a great experience with God, in my opinion. But he had one at Bethel. As he was leaving home, it dawned on Jake. You know, it's been 20 years, but last time my brother Esau, he's a pretty tough guy, a hunter and an outdoorsman. He said he was going to kill me because I had stolen his double portion of inheritance and I had stolen his covenant birthright. I'd better check on the lay of the land back home before I go there with all of my vast resources, my wives, my children, all of my flocks and herds. I'd better see if Esau is still upset, if he's still going to kill me. So he sends a messenger with elaborate gifts for Esau, whom he hadn't seen for 20 years. And the messenger says, oh, my servant Jacob, it's very pious. Oh, my servant, your servant Jacob is coming back. Da, 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 da. Here's all these gifts. And then the messenger comes back and Jake says, what did you read in old Esau? You know, what was he? He's ready for me to come back home. Everything seemed all right. Didn't seem, you know, still upset about the little problems we had back there 20 years ago. And the messenger said, he didn't say anything, but he is coming toward us with 400 armed men. Who was that? Jacob says, I think we've got a problem, Canaan. But he sends more presents to Esau. More presents. He's still coming with 400 armed men. Jacob, with his brilliant way of chicanery and duplicity and political maneuvering and the way to soft soap and brag and praise, man, he had all the gifts of a thoroughgoing, flim-flam man, con artist. I'm telling you, he would have been a fabulous salesman. And he was. So he divides, he sends his gifts to Esau, elaborate gifts. And then he divides all of his flocks up in one group and sends them over the Jabbok. He divides another group over the ford there in the Jabbok and the river. He says, well, if he attacks and takes all of my herds and kills all my servants in this first group, and then maybe the second group can get away. And if he gets that group, he gets the second group. And he said, then he sent his wives and his children over the Jabbok. And the last one to cross was old Jake, Jacob. He sent them all over. He stayed on the safe side of the river and spent the night. He was alone. I'm not a betting man, but I'll bet you. It's the first time he'd spent a night alone in a long time, maybe since when he left home 20 years ago and met God at Bethel. I don't know. But he was alone. He had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. He couldn't go back. He couldn't go forward. He felt Esau was going to kill him. He sent everything across the way. And he begins to pray. You think you know how to pray? Let the doctor say you've got a matter of weeks or hours. You think you know how to pray? Find yourself in some foxhole somewhere. You think you know how to pray? Let a moment come when your life is bottoming out. And old Jacob began to pray like he hadn't prayed in a long, long time. And as he was praying, a theophany took place. This means there was a presence of God, an angel, and someone grabbed him in the darkness, and they began to wrestle. This was a wrestling match, and Jacob was wrestling, and this divine being was wrestling, and the purpose in a wrestling match is to pin someone so they can't get up or to hold them until they submit. And in the match, you ask, what was that all about? I'll tell you what it was about. It was about Jacob not wanting to give up control of his life. See? To a divine being, to God, the same wrestling match that took place in the Garden of Eden that began the curse. That's what it was all about. J- Jacob had got along with his own skill, with his own intellect, with his own ability, with his own genius, with his own cunning, with his own personality, doing his own thing, controlling his own life, and now he's at the end of his rope, and he's wrestling with an angel, and the angel is holding him and squeezing him in a hold, squeezing all the ego, the pride, the self-sufficiency, the vanity, the falseness, the phoniness, the sin, the hypocrisy, the greed, the sexual immorality, the duplicity. He's squeezing it out of Big Jake. But Big Jake hangs in there. He doesn't want to give up until he touches his thigh. His thigh is out of joint. His hip is dislocated, and it would be dislocated the rest of his life. Let me tell you something. You ask anybody who knows anything about physiology, when your thigh, when your hip is out of joint, the match is over. The match is over. Jacob surrenders, but he wouldn't let go of this angel, this wrestling divine maid. He wouldn't let go, and he said, "Will you bless me?" He said, "Jacob, I'm not going to call you Jacob the cheater anymore. I'm going to change your name to Israel, a prince of God." Jacob got up, and he limped the rest of his life. But he moved from being in control of his life to being dependent upon God. Guess what happened when he met Esau? Esau was glad to see him and glad to welcome him home. Isn't that great? Isn't that fabulous? First great experience, Bethel. Second great experience, Penuel, which means there by the Jabbok, I saw God face to face. Third experience, Egypt. Remember what we're talking about? We're talking about healing of the curse. We're talking about how it happened in Jacob's life. I think there at the Jabbok, when his hip was out of joint, the curse was healed because now he moved away from hiding. Jacob didn't hide from God anymore. He moved away from feeling ashamed in his own life. He moved away from blaming his daddy, his mother, his brother, his uncle, he moved away. And now he said, "God, I'm dependent on you, and this limp will be with me for the rest of my life. I'll never, never, never forget. I'm moving out of controlling my life from being Jacob, the slick artist, Mr. Slick, to being a man of God, a prince of God." But what about the kids? How does this happen? The ace in the hole for God. I know you don't understand that terminology. Was Joseph. Joseph had been taken out of the family. Joseph had been taken out of this family who the curse was being compounded day by day, week by week. By year. Joseph was the wild card. I know you don't understand that terminology either. And Joseph got right with God. He was accused of raping someone he did not rape. He was put in prison for a crime he did not commit. And finally, supernaturally, only God would do something like this. He became prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And what did God do? There was hunger down there in Canaan, and all the brothers went back and stood before Joseph. They didn't know it was the brother they'd sold into slavery. And Joseph did not conduct himself as a victim. He could have said, "Gotcha, guys, gotcha. You sold me into slavery. You don't know who I am? I hold my destiny in your hands. Your children are starving to death. My dad is starving to death. Gotcha." He was going to get revenge. He could have taken the role of victim. A lot of people take that role in a dysfunctional family. I'm a victim. My dad was an alcoholic. My mother was abusive. I went through a divorce. I'm a victim. Oh, I'm a victim. He didn't do that. He took the role of healer. Healer. And it brought about repentance by the brothers. They were put in prison in Egypt for a while, for they were accused of doing something they did not do, as Joseph was. As Joseph was. And finally, a charge was made that a life would be taken, and they stood up and said, oh no, we can't have Benjamin. Now our father's favorite. He can't lose him. It would kill our dad. And one of the brothers stood up and said, the most vicious brother of all, oh, I will take his place. I will be the servant. I will be executed. They were accused of a crime they did not commit. They went in prison as Joseph went in prison. They were accused of a crime they did not commit as Joseph was accused of a crime they did not commit. You see what's happening? And all of a sudden, there is repentance. There is forgiveness. There is confession. Somebody said, well, why didn't Joseph just immediately tell them who he was and take place? You see, the idea of easy healing of the curse, easy forgiveness is not biblical. It takes genuine repentance. It takes a genuine confession, a genuine turning away from it. And Joseph was patient enough and I think divine enough to see that take place in his family. And then finally the boys knew who he was and they cried. What a wonderful scene there in the Bible. In about the 48th chapter of Genesis, they went back and got their dad. They had to confess to him that they sold Joseph into slavery. He grieved all those years from him and all the confession and all the healing. And suddenly there was a family again and the curse had been stopped with Joseph. How does that work with us? Jesus Christ took your curse and my curse upon him and was nailed to a tree. Understand me. He didn't take the role of a victim. He took the role of a healer as a unique Son of God. And he offers to all of us, individual and collectively, forgiveness and healing. So the curse will be forgiven and broken and we can move out in newness of life. That hymn book in the pew in front of you, there's a lot of hymns in there, but they have basically one theme that I think pretty well summarizes all the hymns in the hymn book. It's this phrase found in one particular hymn. It goes, he breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the sinner free. Isn't that terrific? He breaks the power of the curse. Sets the sinner, the family, free.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young brings you an encouraging message about how to leave a legacy of love to your children. You won't want to miss it.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. 9255. 350. 350. 350-9255.